Welcome back, everyone, to the Mini PC Show. My name is Brian Thomas, and may the 4th be with you on episode 17. Here we have as Door to Door Geek. Door, how are you today?
I'm doing really good, and I will admit today I came really close to buying Star Wars Episode 7 on Google Play just to watch it with the kids tonight, but it was like $20, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, man, I actually went to see that in the theater, and we all loved it. You know, I don't know if I would purchase it or not.
I'm one of those, I just love having it available at the drop of a dime. So if I get the whim, you know, I can watch it. But in reality, might never watch it.
I'm thinking the same thing. I might catch it on cable or something, you know, when it hits, and it'll be the running thing. I got to check that out, watch it halfway through, or catch 5 minutes in the end. And, oh, yeah, I remember that. But to own it, I probably wouldn't queue it up, you know?
Right.
I don't know what it is. I think I agree with you.
Yeah, and it was a decent movie. I will say I heard some good news today. Steven Spielberg is doing Ready Player One, which a bunch of my friends are crazy saying that movie's going to be utterly fantastic. It's a pure nerd movie, they say.
Ah, I don't know about that. What's the premise on that one?
It's a book, audiobook read by Will Wheaton, which somehow gives it more credibility. I don't know how. about a very futuristic guy, a big, huge, important person dies, and then gamifies, I want to say, freedom. And you follow one guy's trek of trying to figure out all these puzzles and all these mini games in the real world and through this virtual world to try to come to the ultimate prize. And everyone I know, that's about as detailed as they get. But I do know Book Nuts did do an episode on it, and I did listen to it, but most of it I just didn't get. It sounds interesting. I just do not think I could ever listen to Will Wheaton for that length of time without putting a hole in the side of my head.
I've been listening to a lot of books. I listen to a lot of books as I'm driving. I drive constantly. I'm on the road a lot, and I think I got to check that one out.
Yeah, if you want the quick preview about it, Book Nuts Episode 2, that's how important they deemed that book to do. The podcast episode is only 38 minutes long. So you can hear all about it if you want to prep for it. I want to say it was like I can't remember how many hour book, but it sounded like a lot.
Mm-hmm. Will Wheaton. I just saw him on a movie I was watching with my kids. It was the remake of Flubber with Robin Williams. And he was one of the villains in the movie, Will Wheaton. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Nice.
That was pretty funny.
Gotcha. Okay, we are giving away the the Pine 64. I have so many of these frigging things, Brian. My brain's starting to mush. We are giving away a Pine 64. Very easy. All you got to do is tweet, Facebook, or Google+, hashtag free Pine 64 pod nuts. Yeah.
You know, that sounds like it's been locked away somewhere. Free Pine 64.
That's exactly what some Kevin McLaughlin said, something like it's false, imprisoned. Why is it in jail? It must be free. Yes, it does sound like that. Enter as much as you want, but the first time you enter, I encourage you to send me an email to make sure I catch it and I know where to look if you want to keep submitting entries. And we do have a couple emails regarding that, but you have almost a week left from the publication of this show. May the 11th, I'm going to say about 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time will be the cutoff date and time for entries. Enter basically as often as you like, but if it's not, but if it's a bot just redoing the same thing, you only get credit for one entry. You at least have to make it human. You got to add a little something to it.
That sounds exciting, man. I can't wait. Cannot wait.
Yeah, definitely good stuff. I got two of them. I can give at least a mini review, but let's first go through some of these emails.
Absolutely. So our first email is... How would you pronounce that? A modular board? How would you pronounce it? I don't want to...
Okay, you're going backward. Lustintina, Lustinen, Lustinen Papa.
Houston and Papa.
Justin, if you read the email at the very bottom, all the best.
Yeah, there we go. Justin, thank you for your email. And his email writes, hey guys, it's me again. And I'm thinking about all these boards that we're talking about becoming more powerful and cheaper. But how about a modular one? Having a modular phone wouldn't make much sense, but a board would be awesome. Instead of building one or more boards, just build one and focus on modulars and software development. So you want to build a mini NAS or a personal cloud. Here is a board. Just add 3 SATA ports, 2 Ethernet gigabit ports. You want a mini game console? Then put a quad core CPU, 4 gigs of RAM, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and you're good to go. Those are just 2 mainstream examples, but with a modular board, I think these possibilities are endless. What do you guys think? P.S. My Pine 64 just arrived, and it's up and running flawless with Debian on it. All the best, Justin. Awesome email, Justin.
Oh, yeah. And it is Debian. Would you really expect anything less? And that's not sarcasm. It's Debian. But also, just real quick, the Pine 64, and from where I looked at the Wikipedia entry, it looks like it does use the standard Debian or the Linux kernel, which gives it even more of a reason why it should just run fine. No special sauce needed, no secret drivers needed, no tweaking by specialists needed, and it should just run fine. I will say modular board. I don't know about you, Brian. I don't know why we haven't heard about that. Someone else speculating or wishing for that, or we ourselves haven't thought of that. But I can tell you, I would be gaga over the idea of a modular board because you just have your basic base and then it's future compliant as long as the main bus can support the speed of whatever you're trying to do.
I fully agree. And this reminds me of a conversation that I was having with a coworker of mine. I would say about a year and a half ago, we were just browsing through Micro Center. Put Micro Center on the map, Cambridge, here we go, lifting up. Now we're browsing through Micro Center, and he was like, you know, I have this idea of a modular PC. That would be really good, like a mini PC. And I think Justin's on to something here. And getting some positive feedback from yourself, maybe a phone would be good, but I think a modular PC would be so much better, so much more superior.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the mini PC market is getting the benefit of the phone market. So let's start with that. They are talking about modular phones. There's now 2 of them that they keep talking about. One of them, I think, is supposedly going to get ready to launch here soon. So if a modular phone has any success, it will make the plausibility of a mini PC modular much more possible, doable, and cheaper. The only limitation I can think of is the processor itself, because that's the main hub, that's the main brains. All of these processors are completely baked into the motherboard. The RAM, it's going to be a question of bus speed. The RAM, if you can get a connector type on that modular PC fast enough, the gigabit Ethernet, the RAM, SATA should not be an issue. USB 3. I did have a good explanation. We went last week with that question. Why is it some of these mini boards only have 1 USB 3 port on it? Okay, I had a great answer from, I believe it was Liam Tidwell in my Voxer chat. The primary reason we only see 1 USB 3 port is because of power requirements. USB 3 power requirements is a lot more than USB 2.0. These micro boards want to be powered by minimal power supplies, which means they cannot have a lot of USB 3 ports. That made perfect sense to me. So when it comes to these mini boards, I think also the question might be power. If any company out there comes out and, you know, the Pine 64 is definitely bigger than a Pi type board. Even if it's Pine 64 size or a little bit bigger, I would be very welcome to the idea of a modular board. And I would be willing to pay, honestly, a little bit more because I have more of a guarantee of it being more futures compliant.
Right, I agree. Now, why would power be a concern? Because, I mean, it's not like you're taking it on the road with you, so you're always constantly having it plugged in. I can't see it drawing any more power or equal power to a desktop machine. Well, so anything less than that would be ideal.
Well, power is heat, and heat means you got to dissipate correctly as well. Also, a lot of these want to be powered by micro USB whenever possible, so that sets a hard limit on the amount of power. Yeah. People like Odroid and I think it was Udu didn't mind using DC jacks, and I wouldn't be. If I had the power of a modular board, I would not be opposed to a DC jack. I do appreciate all the boards right now I have that use micro USB, though.
Oh, yeah. That makes it so much easier. I agree. Yeah. Well, to continue with our emails, we got an email from Father Finch, and Father Finch writes in, I am a horsers. Twice more, you have influenced me. Tomorrow will be grand. And he puts in a couple of links here.
Yeah, he puts in two links. One to a Twitter posting. Tomorrow I'm dropping the hammer. Beware you pod Nutsians. This will be plus 100, and it's # free pine 64 pod nuts. and then the second link was to a Google Plus posting saying the same thing, with a link to a pod nuts daily episode where I believe Chris was on. If I'm remembering correctly, Chris was actually on episode of Podcast Daily talking about his computer repair business. So I want to just tell everybody out there, Chris is serious about wanting this device. That's painfully obvious.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Great email, Chris. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And we have another email from Max Goodall. Max writes in, he says, Hi, Dor. Great show. One of my favorite podcasts. On the back of the show, I'm a Raspberry Pi Kodi user looking to be Sky TV free. You suggested on the last show to contact you for access to a free version of Slacker. Keep up the great work, Max.
Yeah, a free version of Slacker.
I don't remember that one.
I don't even know what Slacker is. Oh, Slack. A free version of Slack, maybe. Slack was the community group-based chat.
Oh, yeah, hub. That's right.
Yeah, that's Slack, and the free open-source version is called Mattermost, MatterMost. You suggested the last show for you. So if you want access to this, Max, just let me know. Slack. Yeah, because that's the only thing I can think. I don't remember anything Slacker, but I did do Slack. If I'm completely wrong, Max, email us again. Please let us know, because I've been wrong many, many, many times in my life, as my wife will attest to.
When I first saw that, I'm like, is that talking about the radio station? Like, online radio?
Yeah, and I was wrong. It wasn't Chris on Podness Daily. It was Jason, who's trying to help me set up a Mumble server as a voice chat server. So I'm getting I'm getting my Podnutsians confused, which, again, happens. You know, I'm human.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, the next email we have is from Lyle. Lyle writes in, Hey, Dor, changing routers worked like a charm. The older router was a Netgear N600, and the newer router is a Linksys WRT1900. The problem was concerning. Sometimes devices would not connect, usually during or just after we had visitors that connected to the Wi-Fi network. That's so embarrassing. It was probably something with the IP leases. Plugging in and unplugging the old router sometimes fixed it and sometimes didn't. I can feel your pain there because I've gone through the same things there, Max. I mean, Lyle. During your answer to my previous problem, you suggested a new router. You also mentioned more antennas had to be better. Well, I've been a ham radio operator since I was a wee nipper. I scoffed. I believe more antennas to be a marketing gimmick. After researching it, I stand corrected. They might really be a major plus, not because of increasing the router range, but my increasing the ability to handle more traffic. Then, beamforming technology is amazing. If I understand it correctly, it's similar to how cell phone towers handle so many devices at one time. I want to share my discovery, so I posted a podcast on Hacker Public Radio. And he puts in a link here for that site. And on the podcast, I explain how it works. Alas, I think most of my enhanced router performance was from better router hardware and software. Turns out this podcasting thing is harder than I thought. I spent one night just adjusting my microphone and equalizer. I still would like to try to build a router. Thanks, guys. Lyle.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, that was HPR episode 2041. And if you do not know what HPR is, Hacker Public Radio is a podcast network with basically one show on it. One show gets distributed 5 days a week, and every episode is from the community. There is basically no quote-unquote organization, even though there's two or three guys who help manage everything, manage the server and everything. It is strictly a community-based podcasting endeavor, which, like the Facts of Life theme song said back in the 80s, you take the good, you take the bad, which means sometimes you will have horrendous audio quality. Sometimes you will have perfect audio quality. Sometimes you will have people talking about topics that isn't in your interest wheel. And sometimes you will have people talking about things that you never knew of that fascinate you to no end. So it really is the, I don't want to say Pandora's box because that insinuates there's some evil there. It is the unknown. You never know what you're going to get every day kind of thing. So if you don't know about it, I definitely encourage you to check it out. And he got episode 2041, which just sounds like an important number to me.
Sounds like a box of chocolates.
Exactly. yeah, my belief is more antennas are better for two reasons. Handle more traffic, but also it can handle instead of one channel at a time, it can literally on the fly shift channels and be a little bit better at channel designation on your router, which should also give you better performance as well, if they're good antennas. Right now I have a TP-Link. It's like a year old. I'm thinking it's not doing its job as the best it could. And I too, Lyle, love the, I'm like infatuated with the idea of making my own router. But it really is, to me, also now a question of time. I don't know if I'm going to have the time to do it. If this router completely dies, or I know it's going to be dead in 2 weeks, I'll make a router. But for now, I think I'm just going to muscle through.
Well, you know what? I think this is, timing is perfect of this conversation. My PF Sense PC box just died on me a couple of days ago. Had a power failure, didn't come back, and it came. I got it to come back, and then it froze up on me. I'm like, what is going on? So I had to pull it out, and in the process, I'm like, you know, what am I going to replace it with? Because it's an old PC. I'm not going to try to tinker around with this thing to figure out why it's locking up and why it's crashing. So it would be better for me to build a new router, Lyle. I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I'm going to ask you is, back in the day when DVDs were becoming popular, did you ever entertain the idea of buying a VHS /DVD combo player?
No.
Okay. Then I encourage you to take that same philosophy into your router, which to me says your wireless and wired networking needs to be separated.
You know, and I've actually started doing that, and I have a bunch of wireless routers through, you know, that I've been kicking around through testing and so forth. And what I've done is I've done just that. I've separated them. I've used the wireless router and turned it into a wireless access point and let my router do the routing and my wireless router just be an antenna.
Yeah, that's what I do. I honestly feel like separating out the duties, one, prioritizes my wired connections, which that's why I have wired connections, because I want them to be prioritized. And it lets the wireless be on its own. So if there is issues with the wireless side, typically my wired stuff still works perfectly fine. That's where I have my servers and my quote-unquote infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned beamforming to be a really good technology. Don't forget MIMO. MIMO has been fabulous when it comes to throughput and performance, and that stands for multiple input, multiple output. So with before MIMO, only one device could talk at a certain time. You know, it's kind of like buckets of time slots. You know, you get this much time to talk, and when you're done talking, that device gets this much time to talk. That's the whole idea of time division multiplexing. But with MIMO involved, man, that just increases the throughput that much better.
Yeah, see, and this is what I don't know. If you build the router yourself, can you take, will you still be applicable for the benefits of things like MIMO and the Beam technologies, or is that somehow built in, baked in a feature of the hardware itself? That's one thing I do not know, because I do know some of these custom rigs should, in theory, extremely outperform all the custom, fully enclosed solutions.
Right. I think when you get to some of the off-the-shelf boxes like Linux, not Linux, I'm sorry, Linksys and Netgear and so forth, they might throw in their own special sauce to make things, a little bit more enjoyable and special features and so forth. But some of that stuff like MIMO and beamforming, they're standard features, and they should be included with open source software. I don't think it's more hardware based, but a mixture of hardware and software. And so when you get your white box, so to speak, just your basic single board with multiple Ethernet ports on it, it's a matter of what software you're going to use to drive that hardware,
Right.
Gosh, I hope that s sounded like it made sense.
Yeah, I honestly think it did. I think it did.
Okay, we have a last email from Father Finch. Writes in again, and it says, "Afternoon, gentlemen. I just switched phones and was trying to think of all the great podcasts that were loaded into my old catcher. Somehow, I missed this one. It was a good thing that your number was blowing up my feeds. I put it out there," and he included two links. One is from Twitter and Google Plus.
Yeah,
And okay.
he's serious. Right there on this show, we've read now four of his entries. So everyone else listening, you have to do at least four to have the same odds that Father Finch has right now.
He's hungry, man.
He is, and I'm going to tell you right now, passion is a powerful thing. And with a name like Father Finch, I don't know, he might have something on his side that we don't know of. Just saying, maybe.
Beyond to something there.
Yeah. Very cool, very cool. Okay, you wanted to do a shorter show, Brian. Was there anything like on the tip of your tongue that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I haven't had a chance to breathe these past couple of days.
Gotcha.
I really haven't. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say this is the time of the year where it seems like everybody has 35 different things going on all at the same time, and to find some quote unquote me time, personal time, if you can do that, congratulations, because it ain't easy.
No, I fully agree, man. And did we talk about the kangaroo extender?
a little bit.
Oh, we did? Okay. I thought that was pretty neat. I wasn't too sure if we talked about that
Yeah,
already.
we talked about one of the kangaroos. I don't think we did talk about the extender, now that you say that, because this looks twice as big as the last kangaroo that I saw,
Yes.
which isn't big. You know what I mean? It's literally a little bit taller than a deck of cards, but it doesn't look as thick as a deck of cards.
And it comes in at a whopping price of $200. And
That's
this is
fair.
it, yeah, it is. It's kind of like a, gosh, what would you call that? Like a docking station?
Yeah, to me it's a hyper, and I'm going to use these catch words carefully, hyper portable computer. And what this is a more professional grade docking station.
The thing that I really like about it is that it gives you a slot on the bottom of the unit to add in a 2x5-inch SSD or HD hard drive.
That's nice.
And it comes with a fingerprint reader, LED indicator, all the features of well, actually, you wouldn't get that in a docking station, but I mean, you get your USB attachments, USB 2.0, 3.0, micro USB, RJ45, VGA, HDMI, headphone jack. I mean, this thing's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And the entire size of the whole dock and the kangaroo in the dock is 17, I'm sorry, 171 millimeters by 86 millimeters by 32 millimeters. The thickest part of the device, it's like A RJ45, it's like twice as tall as that, which is not tall.
Oh, not at all.
I really do like where this company is going. I will say the thing that now scares the hell out of me with all of these mini computers is Intel announcing last week that they're going to completely stop all mobile and tablet processor manufacturing. So all of these devices that are relying on ARM on non-ARM chips on Intel chips. I hope you have a good plan to pivot.
That is scary. Oh my gosh, I did not know that.
They let go 12,000 or 10% of their staff, or announced that they were going to get rid of that many, and then less than a week later, just about a week later, they announced all mobile and tablet chip manufacturing will cease.
Oh, I remember hearing about the layoffs, but that is a huge game changer because when you have a device like this, which the Kangaroo itself is a really great performance mini PC. When you stack it up against to like some of the thumb drive mini PCs, and gosh, I can't even put my tongue on a few of them. But looking at the reviews, online and through the YouTube reviews, they just perform really good. When these things are coming with Cherry Trail processors. Those are Intel processors.
Yes, sir.
And that is kind of scary when you have the rug pulled out from underneath you like that.
See, ARM has been literally destroying, but to me, Flash losing respect, losing numbers, losing websites with Flash requirements kind of thing. It is definitely becoming more and more and more and more plausible every day to have a non-Intel, fully functional laptop or desktop type computer. Xiaomi, I believe, is coming out with a ARM laptop. There's another company says they're going to come out with a Remix, a ARM-based laptop. The Odroid C2 is really close to being a fully functional, responsive desktop, even though it's an ARM processor. So these kinds of companies are going to have to either buy a whole lot of stock or really start to plan to do something else. And, it's a shame because it's no fault of their own. The two things I wanted to bring up just really quick is one, Pine 64. I loaded Ubuntu, I loaded Debian, I loaded Remix, and I loaded one other ones. On all of them, on my Asus 24-inch monitor, never got video once. But I was able to SSH into or ping via the network every time, get into it and do things. So the problem I think is the what video resolution this monitor wants to do it as. Many people that I know who have gotten them have said nothing but great things about how they've worked. My one buddy said Bluetooth keyboard mouse. He thought there was a problem. It was slow. It was laggy. He said once he connected a physical keyboard mouse, all the lag completely went away. So if you are planning on doing wireless devices, be warned it might be a touch laggy either in the beginning or the whole time. I don't know. Again, next week we're going to give one away. Don't hesitate. Enter. Okay. Another thing. I'm going to lie. Okay. Chris actually entered one more time. Okay. Father Finch. He gets a certain amount of brownie points. Number one, because he said Podnutsians. That shows he's a longtime listener because we've said that word a lot in the past. But secondly, he did a posting today on Google Plus where he literally, in his work office, on his bulletin board, hung up a 8.5 by 11 piece of paper advertising Podnuts with little tear off things at the bottom. Each one said www.podnuts.com. If I was a man who accepted bribes, I would probably count that as 10 entries, but I'm not. I'm only going to count it as one.
Man, like I said, he's hungry.
Yeah,
You know,
he
this
is.
is lead by example.
Yeah, Nikita, really quick before we go, this is the last thing I want to talk about. I heard about it from Martin Rambo Obando, who's one of the coolest mofos in existence. He's like 6'10", could crush me with his pinky toe, but is the gentlest guy, nicest guy, most supportive guy I think I've met in internet land. He told me about Steve Gibson talking about what I have in the show notes, Brian, as 144. PyVPN.io. Okay. All you have to do is go into your Raspberry Pi and type this one command. Okay. Curl space dash capital L space HTTPS semicolon slash slash install dot PyVPN.io space pipe space bash. Boom. That's all you got to do. And your Raspberry Pi is turned into a open VPN server. Extremely easy to do, extremely secure, if you, of course, trust your network, extremely secure, and extremely easy to set up. The second week, I believe, took a little bit of flack because you're trusting this guy's script to install, but he said, look, he's looked at it. It's very simplistic. It's very simple. This is what it does. This is a 30-something-year-old father. He did this for the greater good. Run the damn thing once and just stop complaining, kind of thing. Yeah.
It's been times like this, Dor, where I wish I had some sound effects to show how I feel.
Right.
This is awesome, man.
Well, and here's the whole thing about this. The technology itself doesn't matter. Okay, the website, the fact that he got PyVPN.io doesn't matter. The simple fact is this guy had the wherewithal to make something uncommonly simple. Anybody of almost any acumen who can get a Pi, install the OS, and boot it will then have no problem running this command, aka turning their Debian-based Raspberry Pi device into a secure OpenVPN router. This is, to me, sheer genius in human engineering is what I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very, very cool stuff. So yeah.
Cost, high security.
Yeah. So needs to say, I'm going to do this myself just for giggles. I have no use or no need for a VPN. At least that's what I keep telling myself. But this was a project started by a man by the name of Starship Engineer. So I guess I don't have a choice. I have to use it. Because that's just a fantastic name.
Yes, it is. I love that.
Very cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, I was in the lab just a couple of days ago trying to tunnel through a modem slash router slash access point slash MTA for a telephone, and it was not doing the trick. It was not doing the trick at all. And I'm thinking, you know, we couldn't get port 8080 to work. We couldn't get port 8181, 23. It was just like, what is going on here? And then all of a sudden we're like, let's plug in this Windows machine and see if we can get a remote desktop on it. Bing, comes up. Huh. That's working. Maybe let's plug in the router and see if that'll work. Failure. Like, this doesn't make any sense. I can log into it from inside the network. I should be able to log into it from outside the network. So then it dawned on me, I'm like, you know what? Let's get a Raspberry Pi. Let's plug it in, do a remote SSH, and we'll tunnel in through the Raspberry Pi. But using something like this, that would be ideal.
Yeah. Now, if you scroll down the page really quick, this is how absolute this guy is also. If you scroll down, you can see if you SSH into your Raspberry Pi with this installed, you can type PyVPN, and then there's space dash and one letter options you can do. Space dash A for add a client to the OpenVPN profile, dash D to debug, dash L to list all the valid and revoked certificates, dash R to revoke, dash H to help, dash U to uninstall. Again, commonsensical is the only word that comes to mind, which isn't a real word, but commonsensical usage as well. So if you want to add a client after that, you simply just hit the dash A. It gives you a certificate that you then copy to your Android or to your laptop. And then through the OpenVPN software, you just say, add this certificate, and then bam, you're able to connect with no passwords, no super complex fingerprints or stuff like that.
Human engineering. I love it.
Yeah. Damn good stuff is what I got to say. Damn good stuff.
Hey, you find the good stuff, Dor.
This was Martin. This was Martin and Steve Gibson, who I feel like if he was my neighbor, I would enjoy going over and talking to him, but after an hour, I'd have to leave because my brain would turn into mush.
Yes. Steve Gibson reminds me of a coworker that I used to work with. Very, 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 very funny.
Very cool. If you didn't have anything more, Brian, we can call this a show.
Well, you know, there's one more thing. I was just actually combing through my list here, and this popped up from April 29th. It was a post regarding the MSI GB2 Plus, and I'm trying to get the specifications on this box, but it looks like a new design for the Cube. I'm trying to let's see if I can get the what are they calling this?
Oh no.
Maybe just the QB2. How's that? Where are your specifications, sir?
Okay, now I'm telling you now what I see. Windows 10 DDR4 2133 megahertz up to 32 gigabytes. What? 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 That's crazy. 32 gigs of RAM DDR4 memory, 6th generation Intel Skylake S powered saving processor. This is not one of the processors that they're going to discontinue making. A equipped with USB 3.1 generation 1 type C. I did hear a little bit more about that, about how the Thunderbolt and the USB C and the USB 3.1, it's a little bit confusing. Maximum to 1 M two SSD, 2.5 hard drive or SSD, supports 4K ultra high definition resolution, supports dual monitors, special USB 2.0 port on the top of the case with supercharger, so like a quick charging technology. Microsoft DirectX 12 802.11 AC combo card and a standard VESA mount. This looks like a little bit of a stacked Intel Nook. It looks like maybe like a third taller than an Intel Nook, but still very, very compact.
That's a really good description of it. That's what exactly what it looks like. The model that I'm looking at here has a Core i3 processor with built-in Intel graphics on it, and I honestly think that even a Core i3 doesn't really sound all that powerful, but comparing it to the average ARM processor, I think it'll give it a run for its money.
I think even compared to today's $300, $400 laptops, this would contest with them. This is a little beastie. Wow.
Absolutely. I'm trying to find a price on this bad Larry.
Yeah, I don't see any indication of dollar amount. Wow. And to be honest, it definitely is visually pleasing too. It's not at all like industrial or ugly or bulky. It's a really good looking piece of hardware.
Absolutely.
Okay, if we no, I don't still don't see any prices nowhere I look. Oh, this is going to be good. It's going to be scary here. Meet the QB rollout plus features. Okay, mini STX platform. So not ATX or anything like that, but STX. No place am I seeing any price. I am seeing some pretty in-depth stat overview. We're gonna make sure these links are in the notes as well. But yeah, no sign of price anywhere.
It's got, like you said, it's got that original Nook design to it, where it looks pretty beefy. I don't have dimensions in front of me. It's got a design pattern, like a half of a design pattern on the surface, and you have your USB ports on the front next to your mic and headphone jack with your Type C USB SD card slot.
And the one I'm looking at here on AnandTech, you can get a i3, i5, or i7, 2 core, 4 core, 4 cores. Wow,
Can you
this thing.
imagine that Core i7 on this thing is so
Well,
tiny.
I can, but I would also think if it's too close to my waist, I wouldn't be able to bear children. Because this thing is like radiating power, and a i7, my goodness.
Like, what would you possibly do? I mean, I could see gaming. Yeah, that would be a thing. But even, I don't know, maybe not the high-end games, but.
I don't know. I think you could do pretty much whatever the hell you wanted. Ooh, this thing just looks really good, and it has a VESA mount, so that gives you a good idea of the size and shape and the form factor. This could fit on the back of a monitor. My guess is you just need a little bit of room, maybe like 2 inches of room behind the monitor.
So I got some dimensions here. Here we go. It's 148 millimeters wide, 155 millimeters deep, and 62 millimeters tall,
That's
coming in
fair.
at 1.24, 21 grams. Yeah, that's pretty fair.
Very, very fair. Wow. Epic find. Very cool.
Yes, that is all she wrote. Yeah, sorry about that, man. I guarantee I will have more next show.
No worries, man. Something is always better than nothing. And if you want to go by like old Johnny Carson methodology, always leave them wanting more. Do you have anything you want to end off with here, Brian?
I do want to say that next show, I'm gonna actually between now and the next show, I'm gonna do a little more digging around as to what would be the a good white box to build your own owned router. I think we're gonna investigate that a little bit.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, and I will promise you that I will start working on this. I got little USB, literally like USB stubs. They maybe stick out of a USB port, like a quarter of an inch, just over a quarter of an inch. This is a USB microphone, and my logic is I can connect this to a Pi device, and then I can go back and try to do the Amazon Alexa development thing, and yeah, see if I can get that up and running. Me and Eric tried to work on his a couple times, and we had problems getting it completed. I doubt the issue was him. I will say that. The instructions, there were clearly at least one or two parts where I was going through it, and it was clear to me they took something for granted and skipped a step. So I'm going to see if I can take it slow, figure it out, and get it running. I'm probably going to try to get it running on my Banana Pi M3 is what I'm thinking.
That would be pretty cool.
Just because I got to put this thing to use somehow. With that, I want to thank everyone for their downloads. Thank everyone for their support by going to podnos.com/Amazon. And if you guys want to compete with that Pine 64, you're gonna have to compete with Father Finch. And I will say, Chris, you're off to a great start, and I commend you and I thank you for your support of this network.
Yes, sir. I definitely agree 100%. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, and we will talk to everyone next week.
Take care, everyone.